It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. When you eat at a restaurant and your take-home container is labeled certified compostable, what does that actually mean? And who verifies that it will actually biodegrade?
Well, a lab at UW Stevens Point does that.
There's interest nationwide in making food packaging more compostable to cut back on waste. And states like Washington and Minnesota have put standards in place for composting some packages.
The Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Technology at UW-Stevens Point is one of 8 labs in the country able to certify these products as BPI compostable. That BPI certification mark indicates a third-party verification that, yes, it can be composted.
And the certification lab at UW-Stevens Point is expanding. They've recently added new testing equipment and capacity, and they plan to add home composting to the mix.
Paul Fowler joins us now for a look at the science behind the project and the research going on here in Wisconsin. Paul's the executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Technology. Paul, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Rob, it's my pleasure.
Now, the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Technology has been around, I think, since 2010, but you've got a big change now. What has happened with your lab setup?
Right. We're at the culmination of an 18-month project, which has been to relocate 3 labs, which were in 2 buildings on the main campus, into 1 world-class, state-of-the-art facility on the north end of the UW Stevens Point campus on Maria Drive. So we have a facility now which consolidates all those otherwise dispersed operations.
And in the old setup, was it a thing where you might start a process here and have to, walk or drive it to the other end of campus?
No, you're absolutely right. So we would start a process on the 3rd floor of the Train and Natural Resources building. We would then take it 3 floors down on a fairly precarious lab cart across a parking lot, whether it was raining, snowing, ice covered, into another building and then down another floor into the basement of the science building. And that operation was quite precarious and also a little nerve-wracking since some of the materials we were moving were the culmination of 3 or 4 months of work. And just one mishap on that cart would cost us, at least 4 months of work.
Now, you're one of just a handful of labs around the country who do this BPI compostable testing. What is this BPI label? What does it mean?
So BPI stands for the Biodegradable Products Institute, and it's a national organization and it has a presence in Canada as well, which certifies products, materials, packaging, food service ware as being industrially or home compostable. And so our lab does all the sort of technical due diligence on manufacturers' products to enable them to work with BPI to put a logo on their products, which lets a consumer know that the products they are buying are compostable.
And what kind of products do you do work with mostly at your lab?
So we work with a lot of food service ware items. So that's things like knives, forks, spoons, paper cups, plates. We also work with food packaging and food waste caddies. So if you're familiar with maybe wanting to collect food scraps and composting those, a number of manufacturers are making bags which make it easier to collect those food scraps and then transfer the bagged scraps to a composter. We also test other sort of food packaging materials, pouches for coffee beans, for example. We do sandwich bags as well. So anything which is kind of coming into contact with food or is being used for handling food.
And this is a big concern. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of packaging in this country. With COVID, I think there's a big explosion in takeout, right, from restaurants and all these services that will you don't even have to drive there. They'll deliver it to you. And there was concern, right? Are we generating a lot of landfill waste with this stuff? So the compostability of this stuff is a pretty solid environmental concern, right?
Exactly. And I think that's really what's driving the a movement towards more compostable packaging materials. They really provide us with another option for disposing of packaging at the end of its useful life instead of consigning those materials to landfill. we can divert them into composting operations where they actually degrade in a more environmentally benign way. We don't risk the generation of methane from their biodegradation, and we actually sort of begin to close the loop on that packaging cycle. Lots of these materials are made from renewable materials, and so they start their life being made from renewables. And if at the end of the life we can return them back into a system which can then be used to grow new materials, it kind of closes that loop.
I want to walk through the process, Paul. So my company, Robco, comes to your lab, said, hey, I've invented this great new to-go soup container for delicious soup from my favorite restaurant. It's got the base of it. It's got the lid. I want to get this compostability label. What do you do to beat up my product and see how it's going to work?
So you've actually got two products there. You've got the cup and the lid, so we're going to need to test those separately. But what we do is we take... a product through a whole series of tests. We talk about compostability testing as if it's one sort of item, but it really comprises three really distinct tests. One is disintegration, which is done to understand whether a material sort of physically falls apart in a composting environment. And that's so that if this material goes into a composting environment, the composter wants to be certain that when he composts a product, that it's not going to be present as litter, as contamination that he could see. And so from that perspective, that disintegration test is really important. And that's a process that takes 12 weeks. And that's not the end of that particular story for that compost. We then take the compost that results from that 12 weeks experiment, and then we germinate and grow plants in it. And that's to make sure that finished compost got the composted packaging material in it is not going to harm the growth of plants, because nobody wants to buy compost that isn't going to grow their plants, right? And then there's another component, which is around biodegradation testing. And that is probably the most sophisticated test that we do, in the sense that we expose a test material in a compost environment for a period of up to 6 months. And over that 6 months time frame, we continuously monitor the evolution or the production of carbon dioxide as the microbes present in the compost actually metabolize or eat the packaging materials. And so what we're doing there is quantifying the effect of microbial action on the packages to show that we're converting them ideally to 100% carbon dioxide from the starting materials.
Now, I know there's been concern over, you know, some kinds of waste material we've used, cleaned up, put on farm fields or whatever, then later find out there were some kind of pollutants in there. A PFAS is a recent example. When you're breaking these materials down, are you looking for those unwanted byproducts?
You know, we do that even before we start to break them down. So I said that the compostability testing is really a suite of tests embedded within that sort of umbrella. And so we do some material characterization at the very start as well. We look for regulated metals. We quantify the amount of any fluorine, regardless of its source within the materials as well. So that would not only capture PFAS, it would capture any sort of sources of fluorine that might be present either intentionally or unintentionally within the product as well. So the tests that we do are really stringent from the perspective of proving, as I said, that physical breakdown, biological breakdown, do they harm the plants, and then really characterizing pretty fully a chemical fingerprint of the materials, any regulated metals that might be present, and fluorine too.
We're talking about a composting lab at UW-Stevens Point. It tests products for their ability to break down and then be good for plants and the environment. Paul Fowler is with us, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Technology. Paul, I don't have a company that makes packaging, but I used to have a really good compost bin in my backyard, and one brand of chips billed their packaging as compostable. And I tried it. It didn't compost in my backyard composter. I'm guessing, like in a commercial or municipal one, the conditions might be different. Do these packaging materials do different things maybe in somebody's backyard composter versus a fancier operation?
You're absolutely right. So there are really two distinct routes or two distinct labeling programs that are beginning to operate. And probably the most, or definitely the most well-established one is industrial or commercial composting. And that's where an operation has set up to make compost as a business. And those organizations, those businesses, are managing their compost piles with a view of generating revenue from those. So they're really managing their piles in a very sort of strategic, well-managed way. And a consequence of that is that they're controlling the moisture, they're mixing or turning the piles to aerate the systems, and that process kind of generates heat as the microbial action takes place. And the heat can be quite high as well, 140, 150, 155 degrees Fahrenheit. And so that chip pack that you referred to earlier was designed for management in an industrial or commercial program. Home composting typically takes place on a much smaller scale. I'm not going to comment on your management skills, Rob, as far as your home compost pile is concerned. But typically, those piles might not be turned as frequently or managed quite so closely as a commercial organization. And so the temperatures are maybe not as high. The management is not maybe as quite so active as well. And so there's a different sort of set of circumstances that exist in home than would in a commercial operation.
Now, you work with companies around the country making their packaging, wanting it to get tested and certified. I understand there are at least some in Wisconsin. What can you tell us about the Wisconsin companies you work with?
Yeah, there are companies all over. So we work with companies right the way across North America. But right here in Wausau, Wisconsin, we work with a packaging manufacturer called Roastar, and they're a really neat, innovative company that makes packaging materials, particularly for fresh roasted whole coffee beans. And so they've developed some really high performing packaging structures that preserve shelf life. They allow the fresh beans to degas once a coffee bean has been roasted. Emit CO2 slowly. So if you think about a coffee pouch or a coffee bag, they have a little valve in them. Sometimes you squeeze the bag and you can sniff and smell the aroma of the coffee inside, but that's to let CO2 escape. So Roastar has got all these different components of a really sort of sophisticated coffee bag, the zipper and the valve and the bag itself. Great from the point of view of shelf life, keeping the beans fresh inside. But the added spillover benefit is that those materials, we're demonstrating them to be industrially compostable too.
You are at a lab attached to a university, right? I would have imagined this would be just a standalone commercial operation. At Stevens Point, do students get to play and be a part of these experiments?
Great question. We are an integral part of the university. We're a program of the College of Natural Resources here in Stevens Point. We had a long-term student intern. She graduated just a couple of weeks ago. But I think she had and I hope she would tell you the same, a great experience just learning the real world challenges and just the satisfaction of taking a range of products through this whole process. And over that period of time, I think she got some real good hands-on skills that I hope she takes with her and benefit her career going forward.
UW-Stevens Point, I think it's fair to say, is known for natural resources and sustainability. Is that part of why this lab is there in the first place?
I think it is. We started doing this before compostability became trendy, if you like. And I think it's really a testament to leadership within the college, leadership at the university, that they supported our endeavor even before it became trendy or the next big thing.
I understand your next step at the Institute is more focus on home composting. So what's going to be different about testing products for home composting? I guess that those temperature gradients you mentioned are part of it, versus the commercial and industrial uses you're looking at now.
Yeah, we touched on that a little bit. So the difference is really the temperature at which we do the tests and the length of time for which we carry them out. So I talked about a 12-week period for industrial disintegration. That extends to 24 weeks for home composting. Biodegradation studies, which are 6 months in the industrial context, are 12 months in the home context. And so it's a slower process, but the tests that we do are no less rigorous. It's just more time consuming. It means that we need to put in more space, more capacity to be able to do home composting as well. And that then enables a good consumer like yourself, Rob, to have confidence in the products that you buy that they would be home compostable as well.
Is this going to be a situation where the BPI label, for example, might say certified for industrial composting or certified for home composting, or is it going to be that fine-toothed on that distinction?
It will be that fine-toothed, and that's important from the sort of a regulatory standpoint. As companies want to make claims, they need to be real, real specific as to whether their materials compost in an industrial or a home environment. So that regulatory aspect is really important, but also just from the perspective of letting the consumer know what they're getting, that's also really key too.
And consumers may wonder, like, how they may want to be more responsible, not pollute, things like that. Mm-hmm. Where do they look for these labels if they've never looked for them before? How do we spot them? What do they look like?
Yeah, they're going to be on pack. So quite a distinct little circle with a leaf growing on it. It'll say BPI certified, and it's going to be on the package where you would maybe see other sort of environmental labeling as well, like a how to recycle logo, that sort of thing.
And then you've got the home composting project coming up. What else is out there in the research world or open questions on composting that you'd like to either tackle yourself or see someone get into?
So we sort of track what's happening around the world as well. We're really testing right now to US and European standards. We're seeing interest in how the incorporation of packaging materials into compost impacts the life cycle of worms. So adding worm testing is part of our future plans as well. We think just that the amount of testing and the load of testing is only going to increase as folks become more familiar with the products. There's going to be more scrutiny of them, and the scrutiny is already real high, but we think that it never goes back, right? Things always get more and more detailed, and we think sort of testing animal life like worms is going to be something which is on the horizon too.
Paul, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Of course, you are very welcome. It was my pleasure.
That's Paul Fowler, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Technology at UW-Stevens Point. We've been talking about their composting testing and research that they do there. Hey, home composters, want to hear from you. You proud of your compost bin? I used to be before I had to move and leave it behind. Or is it still a difficult technology for you to master, as it was for me at first? Let us know. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.